Well, as we open the sacred book, we are in Matthew chapter 6 and reading from verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and that's on page 971 in the Pew Bible. Jesus has been followed by the crowd and he goes into a mountainside, and there he speaks to his disciples. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Well, if you have your Bibles open, can I direct you to verse 25 of chapter 6, where Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about what, about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what will you wear. Do not worry about your life. It's a difficult word to bring into English from the Greek. The literal meaning in the Greek is do not be divided, or do not be distracted. And sometimes it can even mean don't go to pieces. Perhaps the best word is the word that some translations use. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not be distracted. It's a kind of distracting anxiety that we see in that little house in Bethany when Jesus and his disciples visit and are welcomed by Mary and Martha. In that passage in the Gospel, we read that Martha was distracted by all her preparations, all the preparations that had to be made for the visit of Jesus, so much so that she did not sit, as Mary did, at the feet of Jesus and listen. Indeed, she is so distracted by her anxiety about the meal that she is having to prepare on her own, that she goes in anger to Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in anger with Jesus, who didn't seem to care. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And you remember the gentle reply of Jesus, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Notice in his answer that he is not rebuking Martha because she is doing what is necessary to entertain a guest in her house. But he is saying that her anxiety was pulling her in the opposite direction from the one that really mattered, which was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. Some, perhaps, like Martha, are prone more than others to anxiety, perhaps because of our life experience or because of our temperament or our chemistry or our lifestyle or our family and work commitments or because of the state of our health. All of these can influence our levels of anxiety. But anxiety affects all of us to a greater or a lesser extent. And we become so used to it, we're hardly even aware of it. I remember, a good number of years ago, I had to go for a hearing test. And I was put in a room that was completely silent. And after a minute or two, I began to feel extremely uncomfortable. I'm just a little distressed. It was oppressive. And when it was all over, I said this to the person who was carrying out the test. And she said, "Yes, that's because you are so used to background noise that you're not even conscious of it, but you are still hearing it. And it is still affecting you. But you're just so conscious of it that you do not hear it." And sometimes stress can be like that. Anxiety can be like that. We are so used to being anxious that we are not really aware of it. But what Jesus is speaking about is an anxiety that is having an effect. And the effect is to distract us, and to distract us from things that really matter. Anxiety pulls us. That's the Greek word. It pulls us apart. It separates us. And so it is with those who are listening to Jesus. And so it was for Martha. She was there to welcome Jesus. But her anxiety meant that she had no time to sit at his feet. A distracting anxiety. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here. We're looking now at verses 19 to 24. And Jesus is teaching his disciples what it means to follow him. Do not store up your treasure in heaven, he says. Don't bury it in a hole in your wall where thieves can break in and destroy. And he's teaching them how they cannot serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. They're not to be distracted, they're not to be pulled apart. If they're going to serve Jesus, then they must be single-minded in that service. And we will see in the rest of the passage that the calling that he brings to them is to seek God's kingdom first of all and his righteousness. That is our calling as God's people. And we are not to allow anxiety to distract us. But Jesus understands us, and he knows us well. And he knows that we are prone to anxiety. He knows that anxiety can distract us and prevent us from putting God's kingdom first. And so, in his great wisdom, and in his gentle tenderness, he gives to his disciples counseling about anxiety. In verse 25, he says, therefore, do not worry about your life. And again in verse 28, do not worry about your clothes. But that's difficult to do. It's difficult in our busy lives not to worry and not to worry about these things. So how does Jesus counsel us? I want to suggest to you that he tells us three things. Three practical things to help us deal with our anxieties. And the first is simply that we are not to worry about our lives, what we will eat or drink, or about our body, what we will wear. Is not life more important than food? And really what Jesus is saying is, you are more than these things. Remember, you are more than this. Do not let these things make you anxious. Do not let them distract you. Remember that you are more than these things. Jesus was speaking to the poor folk of Galilee who were constantly worried where the next meal was going to come from, what they would eat or drink or wear. Most of them lived a day-to-day existence. And their daily bread was always a worry. Well, ours is not a hand-to-hand existence like theirs. But don't his words also speak to us? We only have to glance at the advertisements in newspapers and magazines and on the television to recognize that our world is also obsessed with the things that Jesus is speaking about. We are constantly urged to be concerned with our bodies, how to feed it, how to clothe it, how to warm it, how to cool it, how to refresh it, how to relax it, how to entertain it, how to titillate it, how to improve it, in my case, how to preserve it, and how to make it look as good as possible. And wouldn't it be very comfortable for me to exchange my 30-year-old Renault Megane for a nice Mercedes-Benz S300? Don't misunderstand Jesus. Jesus is not telling us to despise these things or to despise our body or ignore what it needs. He's just taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But the emphasis is on that daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Pray for today's bread. Jesus is not saying that we are not to be concerned with these things. But we're not to be anxious about them. We're not to have that distracting anxiety that means that we focus our living and our thinking and our longing upon them. Is not life more than food, drink, and clothing? Well, what's the more? What is the more? The more is that we were created to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. You were created to know and to love and to enjoy God. You were not created to be a kind of garbage disposal machine that just treats food. You weren't created to be a clothes horse that is just dressed. You were created for greater things. And I think that the principle Jesus is teaching can be applied to all the things that make us anxious. I was going to say some of us worry about examinations, but I think for most of us, happily, examinations are long in the past. But sometimes we are conscious that people examine us. And we become anxious. And Jesus is saying, but you are more than this. Some people worry about their jobs, the pressures of their workaday life. And they become stressed out and there's problems at home because they are so stressed and the whole of life becomes polluted. And Jesus is saying, but you are more than this. We worry about what other people think. What they think about what we're wearing or how we perform or how we fit in. And Jesus is saying, but you are more than this. Now I know that sounds like something a self-help guru would tell you. You can go to all kinds of psychological quacks and they'll tell you the same thing. Stop being anxious and say to yourself, you're more than this. Oh, and as you leave, see my secretary and give her a £100 cheque for that counsel. But what the self-help guru cannot tell you is what the more is. Only Jesus knows. And only Jesus can tell you. And what Jesus would tell you is this. You are more than these things. Because you were created in the image of God to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And that makes you more than all of these things. So, can I make a practical suggestion? When you're feeling anxious, remember who you are. And continually remind yourselves in the midst of your life, at work and in the world, and in the church, remind yourself of who you are. Day by day, remind yourself. You were created, first of all, for God. And your God tells you to seek, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then consciously change your anxiety for peace. And the second thing Jesus tells us, he tells us first of all that you are more than all of these things that other people are anxious about. And secondly, he says to us, remember you have a heavenly Father. One of the lovely things in this passage is you can see Jesus on the side of the hill with his disciples around him. Listen to what he says. See how the lilies of the field grow. They neither labor nor spring. spin. Consider the birds in the air, and you can see Jesus talking to the crowds and just lifting his hand. See the fields and see what your Father does, how he clothes the field with lilies. And look at the little birds, how God feeds the birds of the air. And I tell you, says Jesus, Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. Jesus is not inviting you to become like a little bird or to become a little flower. But what Jesus is inviting you to observe is God's providential care of them. He is a God who cares for all of his creation. And we see that care in the birds of the air and in the flowers of the field. Martin Luther once preached on this passage. He says this: you see, he's making the birds our schoolmasters and teachers. It is a great and abiding disgrace, a disgrace to us, that in the gospel a helpless sparrow should become a theologian and a preacher to the wisest of men. Whenever you listen to a nightingale, therefore, you are listening to an excellent preacher. It is as if he were saying, I prefer to be in the Lord's kitchen. He has made heaven and earth, and he himself is my cook and my host. And every day he feeds and nourishes little birds out of his hand. Luther's picture is a wonderful one. A picture of the God who is both willing and able to care for his world and of the birds who sing his praises. But it is a picture that is given power and force by two little words that Jesus uses. And the first word is your, and the second word is Father. The God who cares for all his creation, says Jesus, is your Father. And with these two words, Jesus underscores the unique relationship that you have with the Creator of all things. Jesus is saying that he cares for his creation. But you are his children. So will he not care more for you? If he cares for the world, how much more will he care for his children, who are of much greater value to him than all the worlds that this universe could hold? There is a preacher whose sermons I quite often read. His name is Helmut Tillich, and he was a German theologian and pastor. And he preached a series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount in St. Mark's Church in Stuttgart during the terrible years that followed after the end of the Second World War. His people had suffered terribly. They'd heard the scream of the bombs. They'd seen the devastation and death caused by the Allied bombing. What could freedom from anxiety possibly mean to them? And in a sermon he says this: we know the sight and the sound of homes collapsing in flames. Our own eyes have seen the red blaze, and our own ears have heard the screaming of the bombs and heard the sound of crashing and falling and crying and shrieking. Well, against that background, how can you possibly speak about the birds and the lilies? Doesn't it all sound just like romantic twaddle? Nevertheless, Telika went on, I think we must stop and listen. When this man, whose life was anything bird-like or lily-like, points us to the care freeness of the birds and the lilies, we're not the somber shadows of the cross already looming over this hour of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus tells us to consider the birds and the lilies, to remember that we have a Father in heaven, it's not romantic twaddle. It's not easy believism. But it's spoken in the dark shadow of the cross that is already looming over him. And he can speak to his disciples and say, your Father knows what you need. The Christ who says this is the Christ who, in his darkest hour, will say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So, a second practical suggestion. When you feel anxiety beginning to surface, just look out of the window and see the birds and see the fields. And there's no excuse for us in Mulgai to miss the beauty of this world. How lovely driving to St. Paul's this evening and seeing all the beautiful daffodils by the side of the road and the little lambs. Isn't it glorious? What a wonderful God we have, and how gracious in all his blessings to cover the fields with grass and the edges with daffodils, and see the little lambs. God loves them and God cares for them. But as his child, you are to be able to say, he loves me even more than they are his creatures, and he cares for them. But I am his child, and he loves me. So, when anxiety comes, focus your mind on who God is. He is your Father. And consciously exchange your anxiety for trust. So remember that you are more than this. You are more than all of these things that make the world anxious. And when they begin to make you anxious, and when they begin to distract you from who you are, a child of God called to put him first, remember who you are. And secondly, remember that you have a heavenly Father, and a Father who loves you, and who will always care for you. And thirdly, remember that you are to live one day at a time. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, what you shall drink, will be given to you as well. Therefore, says Jesus, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not be distracted by the cares of tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Notice Jesus as he mentions today and tomorrow. Have you ever thought that all worry is about tomorrow? Whether food or clothing or anything else, all worry is about tomorrow. But worry is experienced today. And the irony is that what we worry about tomorrow may never happen. So all our anxiety does is take us into a fantasy world that might never happen. But what is not fantasy, what belongs to reality, is our calling to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness today. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, says Jesus. You've got enough to think about today. And today, instead of worrying, concentrate on the business of today, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. I leave that fantasy world of tomorrow when I am able to say with the hymn writer, "My times are in thy hands, my God, I wish them there, my life, my friends, my soul. I leave entirely to thy care." And you see, when you do that, you suddenly become liberated from all tomorrow's fanciful troubles. And you're free. You're free to say, "Today, but I will seek God's kingdom and his righteousness." And so that's the third practical suggestion. The next time anxieties about tomorrow begin to grip your mind, say to them, speak to them, and be polite, but firm. Simply say to them, "I'm awfully sorry, but I do not have any time to deal with you today because I'm too busy seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness." And then consciously exchange your anxieties for trust. So, remember that you are more than all of these things. You are a child of the living God, and he created you to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. He created you so that you may love him and enjoy him forever. And remember that you have a heavenly Father who watches over you, the Lord of all creation. Look at the stars and how glorious they are, and how wonderful your God is, and how he cares for all of these things, from the farthest constellations to the smallest bird in the tree or the littlest lily in the field. He cares for them because he has made them. But he cares much more for you because you are his child. And remember to live one day at a time. Just one personal comment. I have to confess to you that I have always been, and I am still, prone to anxieties of all kinds. And in thinking about this passage, and in preaching on this passage, I have been challenged, and I have been exposed, and I have been rebuked, and I have been reminded of what I should be practicing, and that is to have no other care than that I should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and not be distracted by any other things. And I pray that God will help me. So I have preached this sermon to myself, and I thank you for eavesdropping on it.